Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey guys, Rose Pants here. I'm super fucking shaken up still. Woke up to a text alert to everyone on the island of Hawaii. That a missile was on its way. And that it's not a drill.
Did you like it?
Is there a reason you have a P.O. box?
When I lived on a boat, I had a P.O. box, right. And I've just kept it. Now it's become my corporation's headquarters.
Your burner mailbox?
6x6 headquarters.
I used to have one because I was
your
in,
LLC.
I was That's in right. a letter exchange with the most dangerous prisoner in America.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Wait, tell us that was cool. More about that.
I've told you about this before.
Yeah. Right? You sent him your toenails, right?
Yeah, no, we would send each other dick pics.
Have to sketch them.
Yeah, no, totally.
My friend, is pastiche.
That is extremely pastiche.
Perfect example.
So this guy, I don't remember his name, but I found his art online, and he was like this really, like a pretty talented artist. Mm-hmm. And that was when I was writing for Vice and was doing journalism stuff. So I hit him up to try to do a story and just try to like talk to him about his art, because I think still to this day, he has spent more time in solitary confinement than anybody in the history of the penitentiary system.
Holy shit.
Like 25 years or something like that. Like some, that must be some a, fucked wow. up number.
Must be a Zen master.
Well, cause he went to prison for like petty theft or some shit, or maybe it was armed robbery, but it like was like, you know, three like 3 to 5 years. And then while he was in prison, he's killed 3 people.
Holy cannoli.
One of which is a prison guard. So, yeah.
Okay.
They were kind of like, nope, we gotta put you away. So
isn't that what happens when you go to prison? You become an animal.
That's what people suggest. But he was, his handwriting is the most beautiful handwriting I've ever seen.
Wow.
Like it's like calligraphy.
He has a lot of time to practice.
Yeah.
That's true. I feel like he's cheating and I have to type on my iMac all the time.
That's true.
Unfair.
Yeah. Makes my hands wobbly when I try to handwrite things.
I'd like to get into a write off with him. My cursive.
And it was a really interesting message because it was very like, it was, the first one was kind of like introductory, like didn't reveal much. But the second one I got from him was like 20 pages long. And it got deep. It got really deep into like the problems of the penitentiary system and and like his solitary confinement. And then he started talking about how horny he was. It was fucking crazy, dude.
Wow.
And
just so horny.
And I sent him another follow-up, I think. But then
I left
Colorado, so I think, you know.
Yeah. Probably still writing to your old address.
Was that Supermax? So sad.
Oh, yeah, ADX Supermax. It's where, like, Ted Kaczynski and all them are.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I don't remember his name for some reason. Jeez.
Wow!
Yeah. Dog Boobs just did a line of blow.
I gotta get energetic this morning.
All right, well, let's get into the topic.
All right, so this is Did You Reddit, a weekly podcast about the internet by way of Reddit, the front page of the internet. My name is It's Your Dad.
I'm Dog Boobs.
Yo, my free day. Oh,
hey. over here on third base. So I think I'm coming over a cold. I know last week we promised that we were going to do a fragrance pod. Psych. Actually. I have a cold, and so it seemed like an inopportune time for us to do a pod that was predicated entirely on smelling shit. So we hopefully postpone that till next week, and we'll keep you posted. But that one's a fun one. So, but this week we're gonna talk about anxiety. But before we get into that, let's really quickly rate, share, like. All that stuff. iTunes, it helps a lot. Stitcher, it helps a lot. You can go to our Patreon, you can buy stuff. We actually have a new guy who's been sending us some cash, a French-Chinese guy, and I'm not just saying that because we only identify people by their races. I'm saying that because that's his name. he's a sweet boy.
That's a good-looking blend.
French-Chinese guy.
Yeah, dude, for sure.
That's gorgeous.
That's Keanu Reeves, right?
Yeah, pretty much, actually.
Wow.
Something to that.
You know, those people age well.
The French Chinese?
Yeah. So yeah. he'll look, this guy is going to look really, really good
until
he dies.
He's going to be, he has potential to be the most interesting man in the world type character when
That's
he's so 65
exciting.
Plus.
And it's also worth noting that we're not entirely sure if this is or is not a pseudonym for Ho for Show.
Oh, so, I would love that.
So this could very, very well actually just be Ho for Show under another name. Anyway, so we got that going on. All right, let's go over the last week's Reddits.
Yeah.
Last week highlights.
God, what happened so much last week?
So much. Something I found that actually made me feel better with all my anxiety. It was an Ask Reddit post that was like, with all the negative headlines dominating the news these days, it can be difficult to spot signs of progress. What makes you optimistic about the future? And this is, the guy's name is, this is Bill Gates.
Well, Bill Gates did an AMA last week.
This is Bill Gates posted this.
Yeah, that's so that actually might be Bill Gates. Yeah.
It is. So, yeah, I was going to say the other thing is Bill Gates gave an AMA.
Yeah.
But this is great. This like blew up really fast and people, it's just nice to read through because there are some really positive things happening that no one thinks about, like the plummeting price of solar and wind energy.
Oh, that's
very
okay.
awesome.
So this, so the post is about what people should be excited about when the world is in a free fall.
Yeah, where it's like shit seems horrible right now, but like also remember there are like advancements in gene medicine and gene therapy. Like that's that's great.
Yeah,
the possibility there, the possible return of the American chestnut tree. That's great.
I thought you were going to say the chess champion.
Finally.
Bobby Fischer.
We're back on the top. Gary Kasparov is going to be dethroned.
I got deep into Bobby Fischer for like a year.
Oh my God.
Like I read two books. I watched a documentary. And then by deep, I mean, that's it.
That's
Why haven't
amazing.
We done a sub about that yet?
Yeah. I don't know. It was,
we need to do
like
competitive.
It was an interesting time. That's not what we're talking about.
We got to do that.
Eventually, at some point.
Yeah. So that was positive. And then, of course, the Bill Gates AMA. I think one of the most interesting responses was about like his privilege growing up in a higher income family. And someone asked, if you were born into a lower income family, do you think you would have experienced the same amount of success? And he said no.
No.
Yeah. He's like, I recognize like I had access to great education and private schools. And if I hadn't, I probably wouldn't have accomplished what I've accomplished.
Man, I love that. I love that honesty because that's, I mean, that's not to bash our Grand Lord High Master Trump.
Yeah.
But I mean, that kind of echoes back to his whole, like, I only got $1 million loan from my dad.
Yeah. But I'm a self-made man.
I'm a self-made man with $1 million loan from my dad.
Yeah.
That's nice. Bill Gates is kind of, I always like that guy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, none of us here are like PC folk. But I feel like he just is got his head in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
he donates so much money.
I don't know why. I'm actually surprised there hasn't been like some scandalous smear campaign against Bill Gates. I mean, that Bill Gates and LeBron James are two people that I'm like, I don't understand how they've kind of gone relatively unscathed in the public eye.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of,
well, there's one
strange,
interesting,
you know?
Bill Gates quirk that I've heard about. That's not like a recent sexual harassment thing. It was when he got married to his current wife, he built this into their marriage contract, and he allows himself to visit his old mistress for 1 week a year on a vacation where they ride ATVs together, and she runs a foundation and he gives her foundation money, and he like,
what,
he preloaded his wedding contract with that information. He's like, okay, we're gonna marry, but this is a part of it. And his wife's like, okay. So they had an agreement. So it's all legit.
That's
so every week,
kind of adorable, actually.
Every week? Once a year for a week.
Right.
Him and this woman, his mistress, who runs a foundation who he gives money to, they go off to the beach. They like ride ATVs. They hang out. They have a great time. Who knows what they do? I don't know if it's about sex or if about friendship. They don't really.
Something could be about friendship.
I mean,
like,
you,
this Bill Gates story seems like
it could be friendship.
Nobody is having,
of course,
sex on ATVs anymore.
Everybody. Everyone's like, yeah, Bill Gates, he's a nerd. He doesn't have sex. What are you, anti-nerd?
Yeah.
No, but I guarantee they have a little sweet butterfly lovemaking.
I'm sure they diddle.
Is that true?
I've read about it on the internet, and I've heard about it a couple times. So,
wow.
I mean, that's as
which
true.
Case it's definitely
which,
true.
Which case is the, if, what rule is that? It's like 31 it's or something.
Shout out episode 69, and we went over the rules of the internet.
Yeah, so it's definitely true.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Sounds good.
It's a quirk.
So one thing,
I just think it's smart if you're going to get married, people, to build in some kind of contractual rule early. So when you're 70, you have like that week off to go ride ATVs.
So we are this week introduced another meme that I think we're fastly approaching peak meme. I don't think there's a sub dedicated to it, or at least we haven't identified it yet. But you guys may have seen there's a meme going around that's a Change My Mind meme, and it's of a guy. It's a guy sitting at a desk with there's a literally just a white poster in front of it that says blank is blank, change my mind. And I think the one that started it all is Pop-Tarts or ravioli, change my mind. Right? Which is true. It's literally exactly
true.
What it is. But
I don't understand.
Pop-Tarts or ravioli,
change my mind. But
do you and disagree then with that statement?
People are like trying to disprove that statement. So someone's like, ravioli's made with pasta dough. Pop-Tarts are made with pie dough. Is spaghetti the same as breadsticks?
Got it. So they're saying they're the same thing.
Right.
And then this guy writes, spaghetti's just wet breadsticks.
Wait, is that... That's true,
I guess. That's true.
But there may be like bread twigs.
Yeah. Here's another version of this. Pee is stored in the balls. Change my mind.
So that one, I think we're fastly approaching peak meme on that one. So
that's a great one,
and I'm very enthusiastic about one. I think that one is like the perfect meme formula where you really can literally build anything out of that concept of just like change my mind.
Yeah,
right? And it's kind of a lot of
it's the most fun thing to do with your friends. It's kind of sitting around and just nonsensically arguing.
You get high and you just say like Pop-Tarts are basically ravioli.
Let me pitch you a TV show idea, because I used to sit around, I would debate friends. I guess it's kind of a good, that's something to do when you were drinking or something, just sort of pass the time. This is before iPads, you know. So.
Before iPads.
And you have to give a laugh like Dr. Hubbard. So yeah, I mean, debating, you know, pools versus hot tubs,
right,
or whatever, you know, pizza versus calzones. Like,
ooh,
calzones, I can take in my jacket to the game. You know,
that's...
You think there's potentially a TV show in that?
That's a great show.
We're going to feel some stuff out here.
I mean, I feel like that's a great digital show where you kind of...
Yeah, there's your five-minute episode.
I would be very surprised if that doesn't already exist.
Mm-hmm.
But if it does... But that's usually a good sign of a show. It's like if for some reason that doesn't exist already, then it needs to.
Yeah. In business, you always have to check what's out there first. You have to go like, I got an idea for a ride sharing company, but it's on cars and it's your car. You mean like Uber? Yeah. Like, damn it. You know?
God damn it. I love these new memes. We should definitely cover meme economy.
I mean, at some point, the problem with meme economy, because I love meme economy, I think it's amazing, but like, that was a rule of the internet. Like when you talk about it, it dies, right?
Oh,
wasn't that
shit.
One of them? But I think this is safe territory, because this one is already like well on the rise, and like we're not killing this by talking about it, right?
Right.
Like we didn't kill Harambe when we mentioned Harambe, and like we're not CNN, right? If we were bringing this up on Fox and Friends, then like the meme would be dead,
right? Oh my
gosh.
But it's meme economy. I've never heard of this.
Exactly. I'm just excited. I'm excited when I see new formats that I think are interesting.
Yeah.
Right?
Like here's one that they made in relation to the idea of giving teachers guns.
Right.
And it's just a bunch of different kind of guns to make like a joke. Like history teacher gets a musket. Normal teacher gets a handgun. Librarian gets a silencer. Chicago gets a, like AR-15. Science teacher gets like a laser blaster. It's
that's
just like
amazing.
They're kind of, that's a funny one.
That's a fun, simple one. So another thing that I think this will be the last one we bring up before we get into the sub of the today. So last night, breaking news, the Donald is kind of in turmoil right now.
Oh. Get what? For the first time in his presidency?
No!
It's kind of in the middle of a bit of a free fall. I don't know. I saw this on Best Of, and this is a subreddit called Best Of. We didn't do Best Of, did we?
I don't think we've done Best Of.
Best Of is literally just moments on Reddit that other Redditors think is a really good example of what's going on in Reddit that day, right? So we're not talking like cool meme came up. We're talking like a guy does a step-by-step breakdown of how to prove how to like cure cancer in a Reddit post about a brain tumor or something like that. You know what I mean? Like moments that people are like, damn, this is a moment in Reddit history that we need to like put a flag in the ground.
Got it.
And so last night,
I heard it here first.
Before I went to bed, I was looking at best of and there was the Donald apparently is in the middle of whatever, I can find it. The Donald has been like banning really popular posters for essentially disagreeing with Trump's stance on gun rights. Because this is we're actually witnessing something strange with this presidency, by the way. So while there's a lot of crazy shit that's happening in the Trump administration right now, like Hope Hicks just resigned a couple days ago, and she was like one of his most loyal kind of supporters for a long time.
AIDS, yeah.
Right. Who is Maximum Babe, by the way?
She is.
I very attractive.
I did not realize that. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Well, she's a model. Those are her qualifications.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious. Well, I love this guy's HR team.
Unbelievable. But she resigned. But in the midst of all this, I got to give credit where credit's due. You heard it first. We are a moderate pod at our core.
That's right.
Donald Trump is actually doing more than what you would assume a Republican president would be doing for gun violence.
Well, he's saying he will.
He's saying he will, but he's also like, no, it's him saying something. If we've learned anything from this presidency, the mere act of him saying it has ripples through the actual action, right?
Well, yeah, I'm kind of looking at it as the way I looked at his like pre-election promises on his campaign trail.
Right.
Where it's like he'll say anything to get people to like shut up and stop criticizing him.
Right.
And support him and think like, wow, cool. Maybe he is all right. He's never going to follow.
But why would he say that?
Because
like, it doesn't
I think it's literally because everyone in the nation is like in a fucking
But not the Republican Congress.
No, not them.
Well that's why he can say it though.
And that's why he doesn't really care about what they think. He cares about his own popularity. Like, he's a classic narcissist.
But I don't think I think the people that like him are not happy about this.
Yeah. I bet.
So that's what it's so curious about, right? And I'm not just giving the guy credit. I'm just saying that, like, there are elements of this that he could very easily have just fucking swept under the rug like he did with, like, Las Vegas and whatever else, right? And at least he's saying something.
You could pick up
some
votes.
Capacity. You go, okay, okay.
Yeah, he could pick up votes from independents or Democrats.
Do you think he is going to get any votes from Democrats?
He has to try. I mean, this is because it's so popular right now to not like guns. As a politician, the smart move is to go with the flow, and so you have this midterm election coming up, and you have all these Republican Congress people that are threatening to lose their seats if they don't go anti-gun. So you're going to see Republicans shift too, just to get the vote to win.
Yeah.
If they don't, and then they lose the House, and then it goes Democratic again,
then everything goes to shit.
Yeah. So it's strategy right now. So it's if it's popular, we're going to say, yeah, we're going to control guns. Whether or not anything happens is
right.
Yeah.
And I also have.
Are we
going
to start believing politicians now?
Right.
No. Yeah.
No, dear God, no.
I mean, everybody seems to do it.
I'm looking at. I'm trying to find this post about the Donald capitulating, and I can't find it. So maybe I just made that up. Maybe it was a dream I had.
He's more like capitulating, fool.
All right. So let's talk about the sub for today. So this week. So this is. We've been doing this roundtable thing where each week a different one of us kind of picks it and moves with it. And this week was dog boobs, since mm-hmm. we're kind of waiting for Fragrance Boy. And so, and when I say Fragrance Boy, I mean waiting for me to get over my cold. But dog boobs, want to talk about anxiety.
You guys, who here suffers from an anxiety disorder?
I do. Do you actually? I feel like you're the. I was saying.
Yeah. You seem pretty easygoing.
Freed
and cool.
Is not an anxious person. I don't know how you do it, but.
I think I'm probably more anxious than maybe I seem or something. Yeah. I think everyone's anxious, but I loud noises.
like you have the anxiety of like a
bright lights,
like a baby dog.
my beautiful wife has been calling me. We've been watching Atypical. She thinks I'm autistic now.
Oh, I can see that. I can see you being a little bit of an Asperger's guy.
She's like, God, you only wear like certain blend cotton shirts.
Feels like you.
You always need the lights off in the house all the time.
Like, that's amazing.
Is it cool to be autistic right now? So
it is. It's pretty radical.
I mean, it's. Yeah, I mean,
it's like
I can see
do
that.
You feel like autism got trendy like a couple years ago.
Yeah,
I took an autism test. I was like 2 points off.
Were you hoping?
I was curious as to like
you
want to
be. You want to be right on the line. Well, that means you're a genius, but you're still functional.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just like any of these tests, though. I mean, if you've ever had. So speaking of anxiety, we'll get kind of more into the sub, but. I was diagnosed with a general anxiety disorder when I was in college, and the reason I got that is I took the MMPI, because this is the Minnesota Multi-Personality Inventory, I think is what it's called, and it's a test you take to like essentially diagnose a whole variety of things. Because I went into my school therapist and was like, I'm fucking bummed out. I'm freaking out about stuff that I don't even know what it is. I need to like help me sort all this shit out.
Yeah.
And originally they were like, you're anxious.
Have you tried masturbating on your grandma's neck?
Yeah.
You sound like a angsty teenager. Let's try fucking a pillow or a coconut.
Is that episode 65 or something like that?
Yeah. I think
we unraveled that story.
Yeah,
I'm just thinking of wild. You as a teenager and your whatever guidance counselor, like what was his name?
It was my college therapist. But I was very susceptible to seasonal depression. First of all,
was it?
And I still am.
Seasonal. I've only lived in a sunny place. We don't have seasons. Does that mean when it gets in the wintertime, people just get bummed out because they don't go outside and they don't have the sun?
I think that's part of it. But I also think I don't know if it's only that, because I like feel like I'm experiencing it right now, to be completely honest. And
do people get seasonally depressed in the summer?
Maybe. Possible.
That's my thesis.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend my life in summer destinations.
I'm
and see
a really
any...
sweaty person. I get depressed in
you get
summer.
All that seasonally, depression. Mm-hmm. Seasonally perspiration.
Yeah. Seasonal affective disorder. Summer makes me sweat, makes me anxious. I don't like it.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I prefer cold weather.
So
summer,
I had
summer makes that booty drop too, right?
That's true. Your it dad? Does do that.
Yeah, it does.
So anyway, I had went to my therapist for that and had to take this thing called the MMPI, which is this like 525 question.
Dang.
Yeah, essentially just like a survey.
Yes,
and it's wild. Like it's made to help the psychologist essentially evaluate what you're doing on a more clinical level. So they start with questions just like, what's your favorite color? What kind of food do you like? Whatever. And by the end of it, it's like, do you feel like killing yourself right
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
So it's really intense. And so, and you know, a lot of the questions are obviously, they suck you in, but they're also, you know, it's like a 3-hour test. And then it also gets to the point where they'll.
So it was, and the result was you were on the line.
The result was, according to that, I had general anxiety disorder with obsessive traits.
Probably talk about this. Dog boobs. I don't want to step on it.
Right.
No, go for it.
Why don't you start going?
Yeah.
I feel like you're going to bring up some of my questions.
We're going to have some good stuff to talk right. about.
So I got a lot to say.
All right. So.
Which is different.
I cannot wait. So, the anxiety subreddit is up to like 1,000 or 156,000 people at this point. And it's at about 750 in the top 1,000 subs. So it's a popular place, and even just 5 years ago, it was 28,000. So it's grown a lot in the past few years. It's a really, really, really tight-knit community. Everybody there, like part of their strict rules is that people need to be empathetic and supportive, right. and there's no like ragging on people right. and giving people shit.
And this is just anxiety, right?
Just anxiety.
Okay, cool.
But they do cover things like depression, stress, obsessive compulsive disorder, like any other anxiety-related mental illness, they'll touch on.
Because they're all kind of related.
Yeah, they're all kind of interrelated. And so many people who have anxiety also have depression. So that comes into play a lot, even though there is a separate subreddit for depression. But I mean, there's an extensive like FAQ, like a wiki page answers everything from like, what is anxiety to how and where to find professional help. Or if you can't afford professional help, here are some free resources. So it's really cool. Like people are freaking nice here.
And oh, yeah. I mean, Hope. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm glad it's not like a sub dedicated to giving people anxiety.
Yeah. It's like...
Encourage anxiety.
Put on Death Grips, which I've been listening to a lot.
Death Grips is the best.
They're really good. Man.
They're great.
The cool thing about this subreddit, too, is it kind of brings up... It's new to people with mental illness, with people with problems that they're not comfortable talking to their friends and family about, or even talking to a professional face-to-face, because through the internet, you know, you have distance, you have anonymity, so you can feel a little more comfortable opening up. And
I mean, that's the beauty of Reddit.
It's you
are an anonymous, and you can also create a burner solely to address some of your anxiety-based questions.
Totally. So I it's interesting, and like we can get into it in a little while, but it really ties in with like the growth of this subreddit, but also like larger trends in internet plus mental health, and how that's like it's become such a resource for young people, especially to connect with people and not feel alone. That looking at like Instagram mental illness meme culture is like actually super interesting, but we can get to that later.
Well, because that's one of the biggest. I mean, for my experience with anxiety, and I've seen plenty of therapists about anxiety over my life, and I feel like it always stems from a few core issues that it would really help me to be able to be like, I'm feeling this way. Is anybody else feeling this way? And how do you deal with it?
Right? Yeah. Like, am I alone? Am I crazy? Because
that's the thing. I think that for anxiety with me at least, so this is a good roundtable discussion.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is the number one source of anxiety for y'all?
Ooh, that's hard. So I think originally for me, social anxiety.
So in what capacity? What do you mean when you say social anxiety?
I felt almost paralyzed when it came to going. Even in high school, going to parties, going to dances, even hanging out with friends after school. Like, it was just this general, and I think what I have is general anxiety disorder. Like, that is like the biggest catch-all. Like,
of course, yeah.
You know, you have an excess of anxiety that is debilitating. So, yeah, for me, that's what it was. And it was like this constant battle of like, I'm lonely, I want to make friends, but I can't go out and talk to people. I can't pursue friendships. It's just I would fuck it up, and it's just like that's how it started for me freshman year of college. And then I went on Lexapro, and suddenly became an extrovert.
Is that a dating site?
It should be.
That is a cool name.
Lexapro. It sounds like almost everyone's on Lexapro. It would be a great dating site.
It could be a sick like scooter hoverboard thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, did you get the new Lexapro?
Yeah.
did you get the new Lexapro?
That thing rages.
And that's then actually, this is an unrelated. I finished the thought because I don't want to.
Oh, no
spiral.
Worries. I was going to say, and then in addition to social anxiety, I have work anxiety, like workplace anxiety.
Oh, boy.
And I think that's been lovingly granted to me by some really nasty bosses I've had in my past.
Of course.
But it's definitely made me get, you know, I've gotten a lot better in the past couple of years working at a non-toxic environment.
Yeah, you're working in a very nice place.
Yeah, in the past, it's been, I've had to pop a few Xanax.
Dog Boobs was a Goldman Sachs. Gold Sachs trader.
Yeah. Trader. She was on the floor. I was like,
it was very.
Back when I was the vice president of mergers and acquisitions.
Yeah, it was a very salty environment.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Too toxic. Couldn't handle that
Gold
stuff.
Sachs, those guys. Yeah. Well, let's give them this. They play hard.
They play
but
hard.
They also play harder.
That's true. So what about you, Freed?
Mine's probably related to, because I work as an independent contractor and I always have. It's kind of like what's around the corner. Like, how do I keep this going till like retirement or death?
Oh man,
like that general thought is always sort of looming. No security, you know. Then I have to say, nobody has that really. I mean,
I've been deep in that world lately. I've been feeling kind of the pangs of independent contracting.
Yeah.
I mean, like I have friends that have traditional jobs, that, you know, from college and stuff that live other places. They're like, hey, you want to come out on a weekend? I'm like, I can't really commit because I might have a job. Or not even that. Like, I don't really want to spend the money I have saved just like frivolously, you know.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So you're kind of always on a defensive crouch. You're like, and you know, to prepare for the future. I mean, it's the responsible way to be, but it's also don't know.
It's stressful.
I mean, I've certainly learned like that. I think that's one of my biggest predilections with anxiety is kind of the feeling of like I crave security in my core, but emotionally and intellectually, I really reject it.
Let me spin your noodle right here on that subject. If you didn't have, because I feel the same way, but if I had the security, I think I'd be bored in like 2 minutes.
Exactly. Bored and, so, and miserable. You would start to have a different existential problem.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is sort of living your on thin ice all the time, is it exciting? And is it sort of inspiring you to create new cool ideas? Like, right. Is that the thing that keeps you plugging away?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
until you die, which is,
I definitely feel that.
It's better to be active than inactive in general.
Totally.
So if you're always potentially poor, you're probably... little more focused, a little more engaged.
Totally.
Which, I mean, I don't know, might be an argument for a good way to live.
I think golden handcuffs are a real thing, for sure.
Well, and I have...
Kinky.
Kinky stuff.
Woo!
Pink flamingo handcuffs are a real thing. Have you ever been...
Let's table the handcuff conversation.
Yeah, I mean,
I want to hear.
We're going to come back to that.
I know. So my source of anxiety, and the thing that kind of like got me... And I think about this a lot because I know how I work with anxiety, that I start with exactly kind of that there are a couple things, right? Like teen pregnancy was like my biggest fear in the world growing up.
Oh no.
Oh dude. And I was like,
you probably had a lot of it around you.
I had a lot of it around me. And I
can relate to that. Like, I feel like I grew up with a lot of don't get pregnant stories.
Oh, totally.
And so like that STDs.
Oh yeah. So that
alcoholism and drug abuse, they were all in our face in school growing up. So I think I was always like, whoa.
Well, that was...
I will get AIDS, you'll get pregnant, I'll crash my car drunk.
That was exactly what happened to me. And the problem, I think, with that with me was like it started there.
We got scared straight, didn't we?
We got scared straight.
Yeah,
but it started there, but then it like... What I noticed now about my thought patterns, which I'm constantly trying to remind myself how to fix. And this also, it works the same way with my career, works the same way with like the things we do creatively, whatever, where I go, well, if this happens, then this is going to happen. Then this is going to happen. Then this is going to happen. Then I'm going to be sad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. There's this like spiral effect. So I think I always joke about
rock bottom, dude.
I always joke about with freelance as like an independent contractor as well, where I tell people that like when I'm on my downsides, I'll know that I'm on a bad side because I know that I know because I start researching grad schools.
Mm.
Oh yeah,
it's like my catch all for like how do I save myself right now?
Yeah,
I had one of those. Yeah. Like you're a grad school equivalent, but it was working in one of those science substations in Antarctica.
Okay,
interesting.
You know, like totally like the what's the big defense contractor? Here, Raytheon.
Raytheon.
They've got this big base in Antarctica, and you can go on their website and apply to work there.
Is that for real?
Yeah. And so, like, this is back, I don't know, in my 20s or something before I had a kid. I wasn't I ain't trying to do that to you now, kid. Where's daddy?
He's
living in the South Pole. It's like a tale your mom tells their kid that's like.
When really he just took off.
Went to get smokes and never came back. Yeah.
went to the work of the pizza shop.
My daddy's
up the street.
A science hero in the South Pole. He's saving us from global warming.
What an angel.
What an angel. No, but I would like get online and be like, God, maybe I'm just going to give it all up and like be a scientific engineer in the South Pole. I applied 2 or 3 times, never heard anything back. I think you need to have like a PhD in
something.
And I was applying for like, you know, like HVAC jobs.
Totally.
Like, I'll just take just be like a worker.
I'll just be a janitor.
My God.
Yeah. It'll be cool.
Crazy.
We'll watch like, you know, movies from 2 years ago.
Totally.
And eat dried foods.
But I think
it'd be great.
Yeah.
So what I would do is like, it's kind of exactly that. I would do the grad school, but with like the teen pregnancy thing when I was 16, 17, 18, whatever is, and even in college, I think it was always this thing where like, well, when that happens, and it was never like, if this happens in the unlikely case, it was like, when that happens,
right,
then my life is going to be ruined in this way. Right.
Mm.
And it would, and because I think my biggest fear, like I think my anxiety comes from, is very fear based, which I think most people's is. But I
Dr. Pepper, dude.
Yeah. One of one?
But I think everybody has that fear-based sort of survival mechanism built in. So,
oh, for sure.
Advertising and like the news and everybody sort of preys right. on your well, instinct I'm very, to I'm, be afraid so they can control your behaviors.
I mean, I'm afraid of sadness. I think that's like the thing that actually
Which is
drives me.
It's pretty
like
funny because you are never in a sad mood.
I'm never
like
in a sad mood.
People afraid of sad are...
Well, but I'm like, I mean, I like entertaining dark concepts and dark things. I think it's like the art that I'm attracted to, et cetera.
I'd say you dance with the devil.
I dance with the devil for sure.
But
I
was sexy dance.
But I just know that I
twerk dance.
I twerk with the devil. But I just, I think that that anxiety, and that's something I'm constantly trying to figure out. So to link it back to this sub, I think this sub is really interesting because I remember, like, I remember doing this, like, the first time I'd ever, like, smoked weed and stuff, too, where I need to be able to have a place like this where I can, like, start to panic and start to get anxious and immediately go on and be like, what are the chances I can just get my girlfriend pregnant? People go, it's 1 in 1,000, dude, you're fine.
Yeah.
And then I go, whew. Oh,
thank
God.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for talking me out
because
of
that really
spiral.
Is like, it's even like, even with freelance thing, I mean, having another friend who does freelance, there's nothing worse than doing it alone and being like, I'm never going to get work again. And someone goes, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Or like, it's slow right now. We're all in the same situation. It's going
to
pick up.
Even
you know
to commiserate. Like, you know, even
totally.
To be like, this sucks right now. It's so hard. And to have someone be like, dude, I know what that feels like. It is hard.
If you ever start feeling like that, you just watch Carl Sagan's Pale Blue Dot video.
Oh, yeah.
We're all meaningless in the universe.
We are.
And then you're like, dude, maybe I shouldn't worry about work. Maybe I should just like go get that steak burrito.
I wasn't
going to Antarctica. Or watch Noam Chomsky's new documentary, Requiem for an American Dream.
Is it nuts?
I mean, admittedly, I haven't seen the whole thing, but my buddy watched it and we had a very long conversation about it. And it's like, everything is failing. It's about to be completely gone. So heads up. And Noam Chomsky knows. So
yeah. Tie that into the general anxiety thing too. I mean, I think the sort of economy that we live by here is preying on that anxiety a little bit. Anxiety is what drives people to keep going, do more, pay their credit off, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you know, it kind of keeps the engine moving. If people were at peace, just like staring at the pond, we wouldn't grow the economy.
No.
So our system's sort of like built
on... Yeah, I mean, that's kind of...
I don't know, is that...
That's the premise of capitalism, too.
Which is why we're all a little bit anxious all the time because it could all go away.
Well, this is really interesting. So I found this website called, let me find out what it was called. Basically what it does is show you like the history of you know, the success and like the peak of different subreddits. So I was looking at anxiety and it was started in 2013, started out like between 500 and 750 in the top 1,000, but it peaked and got close to like 560-ish towards the middle and end of the year 2013, which made me wonder, like, what were some like things going on during that time that might have contributed to a ton of people suddenly needing an online support group? And
Haley Bop.
Yeah. Yeah. Heaven's Gate. 2013 edition. But there were a few fucking things in 2013, like the Boston Marathon bombing and Arab Spring and Paul Walker dying.
Oh.
Yeah. God. Paula Deen fell from grace for using the N-word.
Oh, I forgot about
George
that.
George Zimmerman was acquitted.
Oh, yeah.
Like, lots of crazy shit happened then.
That might have been the start of it all. I feel like now the gloves are off. There's no rules.
Yeah.
Everyone's a rapist.
Yes.
Everyone's a racist and a rapist.
Mm-hmm.
But back in 2013, it wasn't... I was kind of the initial wave, maybe.
Yeah. Right.
And so now we're just like surfing this peak wave of stress.
Yeah.
And now we're all just living on it.
And it's
interesting.
It's
kind of the new normal.
You say that because the peak of all time for this subreddit was in mid to late 2016.
Wow. So
and that's
was,
when
that
it
was
got,
Trump.
Yeah, that was when it was like, that's when it hit like, I think 565 or 566. That's the fucking presidential election, Russia hacking, Syrian civil war, the Aleppo bombings, Brexit.
You know what they say, stress kills.
All the terror attacks.
Totally. I wonder if
the cop shootings.
It seems like a stressful time mentally nowadays. Like if you know, if we fast forward to like however, you know, the death age of this population,
10 years.
Yeah,
you know, will you see longevity rates go down, even though scientific.
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, because I think,
of stress as opposed to, you know, the technology and science.
Well, I think stress does kill. And I think that we're probably going to end up seeing. I mean, the interesting thing about this is like there are.
That it's funny that
wealthy people.
Stress kills is stressful.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That makes me stressed. Like
I'm just picturing the news report like stress kills.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight. And you're like, ah! Yeah.
But like, it's almost like the equalizer, because I think wealthy people typically are more stressed because of the responsibilities they burden themselves with.
I mean, mo money, mo problems.
I mean, that's, you know, it's true. Until you get to a certain point,
you're good.
Mo money, no problems. Yeah.
I love
most
that.
Money, yeah. No problems.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think, yeah, I think we live in really inherently anxious times for lots and lots and lots of reasons. Mm-hmm. And I personally am really struggling to figure out how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Because I think the uncertainty, so we're talking about being a freelance whatever, it's like the uncertainty is what causes the stress.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing this massive wave of universal uncertainty across different cultures, different countries, yeah. Different whatever.
Like, are we going to war? Are we going to throw, you know, a nuclear bomb somewhere? Totally. Like, what's happening every day?
I even had, like, the other day when the Dow dropped really dramatically, I had, like, a big moment of, like, oh, my God, no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't remember experiencing that previously, but I almost feel like it's the constant buildup of all these different things that feels like we're just coming towards a really dangerous impasse.
Yeah.
That's going to lead to some fucking Lord of the Flies shit.
Totally.
That I just can't help but be like, it just makes you anxious. So I am trying constantly to try to figure out like what to do personally to help solve that. Right. And that kind of goes to the grad school thing where it's like the grad school is more representative for me of like trying to identify what the closest thing to a safety net or a scapegoat, or not even scapegoat, but a safety net or a saving something to help solve my anxiety.
Yeah.
Right? And that could also be like buying a house in some place that like you kind of like that's a lot cheaper, but it's like not Los Angeles, right? Because Los Angeles causes a ton of anxiety with me.
Yeah,
you're never quite okay here.
Which is good because I mean, to your point earlier, that's like kind of the premise of capitalism.
It's like New York,
the point of what we
do.
Like
Manhattan
right?
too. Like it's driving, and you stay on the conveyor belt for a while until you're like, fuck it, I'm off.
Yeah, yeah.
People leave and they go to the suburbs.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I don't know.
We're moving to West Portland, dude.
Well, I don't know when that's gonna happen. I mean, I might eventually. But I'm afraid. I just want to be able to do it voluntarily because I think that's another big anxious point for me. Like I have a lot of just broad existential anxiety.
Yeah.
About I'm not afraid of commitment, but I'm afraid of what I'm afraid of the degradation of my ability to make my own choices at my own volition. You know what I mean? So like I don't want to be forced to move somewhere.
No.
I want to be able to do it at my own free will. Right.
Right.
Totally.
And I think that is like, that's another source of my fear is like, I'm afraid and I'm anxious about the idea that someday I'm just going to be forced to leave out of like spite or happiness or unhappiness or anxiety or whatever. And then, so I work really, really hard to keep everything going. But then in doing that, I get more anxious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just kind of this weird self-perpetuating cycle.
Exactly. Well, you know, you could find a lot of help in the subreddit.
I know.
So one of
you guys
the
can
things,
tell I'm going through a thing right now. Right?
I completely understand.
You're going through some shit.
Honestly, this is a bit of a tangent, right. But I remember reading several articles about how skincare and like bath and body works shit like went nuts after Donald Trump was elected because women felt like shit.
Right.
Like there were so many women
that's
who felt it's really interesting. And there are legitimate articles about how that industry is just raking it in because self-care. Because, like, what you have, you women basically were like, we have no control over this. And I know a lot of women voted for Trump. It's not all one or the other. But
some people say it's the woman's fault.
Yeah, some people would. The white woman's fault, that's for sure.
White women!
But it's
still the white man's fault.
Always, just by default. But sure. Also the white woman.
It goes white man, then white woman.
Yeah. Well, the white women really fucked shit up. So
is there
a
minority race of men above women in the sort of blame it on them category?
I don't think so.
Native Americans?
Yeah.
I feel like they're at the bottom of the blame.
Native American men.
You can't.
No. You can't blame them for anything.
That's pretty interesting. And I personally realized that I fell straight into that. I remember having a mental breakdown on election night. I was like on an airplane.
You just bought a bunch of wrinkle creams.
Disclaimer, I'm not suicidal and I'm safe. Right.
By the way, this is a good opportunity. We should say that if you are feeling, I know we kind of joke about suicide. We don't really, but we make fun of a little bit of everything. If you actually are feeling anxious and feel like there's no way out and maybe suicide is the best move, Don't do it.
No, go here.
Bad idea. Yeah.
Because you
go here
are not
or,
alone.
Or honestly, send us an email. Because, like, clearly, not that that's a solve, but, like, we all, like, the reason we talk about something like anxiety is because we also experience it. That's, like, the reason we do subs like this is because we find them interesting and we find them relatable.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you just heard my spiel about all my fucking problems. So it's like, if you have some shit, there's a community of people, be it anonymous on Reddit, maybe it's us, maybe it's whoever, that probably empathize. All right, that's my deal.
And you can find
the suicide hotline as well if you want to call them and talk to
honestly,
some fucking guy.
Just go on the wiki for anxiety. They link to it right in the subreddit. It gives you online resources, a list of positive distractions and pleasant events to help you pull yourself out of the pit.
Like Coachella,
for instance. They give you resources.
Feeling
like,
anxious?
I'm a dog.
Go to Coachella!
Woo! $600, but like totally worth it.
I love that.
I've never been out there. Is it just an anxiety reducer?
No, God,
it's
no.
Horrible.
It's like a giant anxiety bubble.
I don't like going to big events anymore.
Yeah,
I mean,
you don't
even
like
concerts.
Music. Remember, we talked about this.
Well,
yeah.
I might like music if it wasn't for the concert part. Actually,
you only like Death Grips.
I can't get past the going to. We went to a show. It was the worst experience
until we got there.
We went and saw Flight of the Conchords.
Oh yeah, that was
which
awesome.
Was great once we were in our seat.
Yeah,
but getting there was was that a marathon?
Oh yeah,
oh,
it
really
parking and shit. Holy fuck, that was terrible.
And parking was like $60, and we had to walk 10 miles. And that's like the part of LA that I'm like, oh god, this city's just exhausting.
Yeah, totally.
Like nothing works here. Yeah. I don't know if you could just get me at a concert and I'd be comfortable. I'd probably like music, but sorry, music.
Sorry.
Yeah, I looked it up.
I get bored at concerts, honestly.
I'm good for one or two songs.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
Like 15 minutes tops for me.
Yeah. Me too.
I mean, I think there's different situations to enjoy. I think a lot of the shows I go to for like to experience a band in their like pre-peak band, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
So like there's a band that I love that I'm like, oh man, I've been seeing a lot of information about this guys. I want to like see what their deal is.
Yeah,
you know?
Get in on the ground floor.
Yeah, and not like to like buy a shirt to like resell on eBay for a $50 or $50 margin, but
well, that's a good business, dude.
It's good business. But I think some people like music, some people don't. I don't think there's anything wrong with not liking music.
True that, man.
So let's go over some of the actual posts on this thing.
Yeah. So one thing, some cool posts. I want to just call out the mods of this subreddit because they are super active and they do these weekly posts that are aimed towards getting newcomers to feel comfortable introducing themselves and talking about any issues they're comfortable with.
I would love to talk to these mods, actually.
They're amazing.
We should reach out to a couple of them and see if we can get them on, man.
It's really cool.
I wonder if they're actually trained therapists. I would assume
they're not
because that's how Reddit works.
Yeah.
But
they
actually
caveat. They're like, we are not psychologists. Don't, you know, look to us as like medical professionals, but we're just here as like a support group and to provide you guys with resources. Like online coloring book pages or grounding techniques and visualization meditation techniques. Really cool stuff.
That's fun.
But they do these weekly challenges. So every week on the subreddit, they post a new challenge for anyone who wants to challenge their anxiety but doesn't have anything to do it. So it's supposed to be kind of like fun and also like a little homework. Like give yourself something you want to accomplish so you don't feel like you're just sitting there paralyzed. So for instance, their first one, which they published in 2014, was Squash Your Fears. So 'tis the season for vegetables that look like they belong in, on a caveman's toolkit. If you're American, you get bonus points if you do this one after Thanksgiving, but you might want to take to make sure that they're still available first. I don't know what that means. I'm sure there's more to it. But they have tons of these weekly things that people can kind of get involved with and then come back and talk about. And then they also have really cool posts that are like welcome newcomers every single week. So it's like greetings everybody, use this post to introduce yourself if you're new, or maybe you're not new but haven't had, like, you know, you haven't gotten around to introducing yourself yet, or maybe you've been here for a while and you just want to like welcome new people. And you get so many responses from like people with throwaway accounts and, you know, burner accounts sometimes, but people just introducing themselves and writing a very long post about what they're experiencing.
Right.
And the mods themselves go and upvote everybody and respond to people and say like, thanks for sharing. Like, that sounds crazy. Like, we're here for you.
Yeah.
This one girl posted like, I don't want to reveal too much, but I like cats. And that was it. Cause that's the most she was comfortable with. But the mods just, like, someone upvoted her and then wrote, oh, my God, I love cats, too. Just nice, empathetic people that are just trying to make people feel comfortable opening up.
I mean, that's nice because there's certain, like, there are certain amounts that people are willing to reveal, obviously. And, you know, I'm looking at the top post of the last 24 hours. I think this is actually very revealing because this kind of echoes a little bit of what we were saying about ourselves. But the top post of all of the last 24 hours is I asked a girl out for the first time in my life today, right?
I love that.
And that's a very, because that's one of these things where when you think about the anxious mind, like what happens is kind of this over-imagination at work, right? Where you go, I asked this girl out, and then it's like, is she making fun of me behind my back? Is she going to tell my friends? Are all of them going to like make fun of me and I'm never going to be able to ask anybody else again?
Yeah.
Like, what was my hair doing today? What was, like, you know, it's like kind of that thing that you just perpetuate this thing. So I think this is really nice when you can say, I asked a girl out today. Because I, you know, probably if this kid is an anxious kid, he or she, I don't know if it's a girl or it's a guy, but there's also probably the, like, will I be alone forever thought, right?
Yeah.
Because that's always with anxious people, that's what happens. It's like, it starts with, do they like me? And then it ends with, No one will ever like me.
No way they like me. I'm not likable.
Exactly. And that's kind of really interesting. And a couple others is like, I have an interview today, which is a little bit more like everybody's got a little bit of anxiety about that. I thought this one was really interesting. Or these two, actually. I feel like I'm losing everyone, which I think is really interesting because that's very sad and scary, but also that's kind of like the far end of that anxiety trail, right? Where it might be like, a friend doesn't respond to their text message.
Yeah.
And then it ends with, I think I'm losing everyone.
Yeah.
Right.
And in between that, sometimes friends fall off. Like if you're like suffering with anxiety and you're holing up in your room and you're struggling with like, I'm really lonely, but I can't go out there. People are going to stop inviting you to things. Like it's just going to happen.
It's a downward spiral.
Horrible.
Totally.
You see it. I've seen it in people. It's like the more you worried you are, the less people want to be around you.
Yeah.
And so people are just like, I'm already got my own shit. I just want to hang out and not be stressed socially. You're hard to hang out with. Don't be hard. Here's a lesson. Don't be hard to hang out with.
Totally.
Be upbeat and just shut up. Like if you can sort of do those things socially for like 3 hours in a row, people will probably invite you back. And then it's like, and then one day at a time, right?
Well, that's a really interesting lesson too, I think, when it comes to how to treat anxiety. Cause I think it's very easy to be like, pop a Zoloft and go about your day. Right. But I think there's part of the challenge of anxiety is challenging yourself
you have to fix it,
right?
I mean, even if it's ordering coffee, right? That's something you do every day. Right. You're going to talk to another person, go up and you're like, okay, pep talk yourself.
Yeah.
Or even
I'm going to smile and say, hello, how are you? It's like, boom, I did it. All right, that's one
exactly.
down.
Like reminding yourself to not burden other people with your problems too.
I think that's a huge part of it.
Like, I mean, that goes to the social, like when you say like, do I want to be around this person? It's like, we all have our problems, right? And I think that anxiety for me sometimes feels like, it's like when we were talking about eating better earlier in this pod. I don't know if we were recording at the time, but you know, when all of a sudden you go, I'm gaining weight, like you need to, it's your responsibility to try to figure out how to fix that, right? So when you're getting anxious, and I'm not saying you're burdened entirely, because it is definitely a mental disorder and there's some chemical problems,
but it could change the whole world's perception of what beauty is.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
But I think
instead of losing weight,
part of it is like being able to say, like train yourself to be like, I'm not going to talk or think about this thing as much as I can for 2 hours, right?
Yeah.
Or like, yeah. I'm going to find a behavior that distracts me from it. And I'm trying to use that.
And then alternatively, like this subreddit gives you resources of like, maybe it's something that you don't want to ignore. Maybe this is something you do need to deal with head on. And they give you the resources to do that. Like they've given like what to expect at your first consult with a psychiatrist or a therapist. And so, because people have anxiety about that first episode.
Well, I mean, if you're an anxious person and then you're going to a stranger
to
tell them all your problems and their whole responsibility is essentially judging you.
It's
like, how
terrifying.
Hard is that? Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's amazing because a lot of people sadly don't have people in their lives that are there to listen and be there for them during really hard times. And that's not always the other person's fault. It's hard to like be there for someone when they're really low. But this place offers like a community that will always be positive for them. I saw one post that was really awesome. And it kind of goes back to what you were saying about, you know, when you're feeling this way, find ways to pull yourself out of it.
Right.
And it's like, it's titled, Everything's Awful and I'm Not Okay. Questions to Ask Before Giving Up. So it's all these things that are like, so you feel like shit right now. You're in bed. You aren't moving. You're wondering why you're even here. Are you hydrated? If not, go get a glass of water.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. Have you eaten in the past 3 hours? No? Then go get some food. Have you showered in the past day? Go take a shower if you haven't.
Showering really helps.
It's really cool. Yeah. Have you stretched your legs in the past day? If not, stretch them.
Oh, my
God. Go walk around the block.
Inactivity is like such a
one of the worst. Yeah.
And even things like, have you said something nice to someone in the past day? Whether it's online or in person, give someone a compliment. Be a positive force for someone else and you'll feel better.
These all feel like old-fashioned techniques, like by old-fashioned, like the 50s.
But that's really nice because we live in such a high-tech time that like we forget that some of these things help. Like a dog does wonders for people's ability. When somebody doesn't feel loved, a dog is the most beautiful thing in the world because all they want to do is love you.
Yeah.
Right? And you can see it in their eyes and you can see it in their kind of the way they interact with you. They're love machines, right? So it's like cats, pieces of shit, but that's not true.
Yeah,
they can
I know what
be.
You mean, though.
But
I like a cat because they don't ask for anything from me, and I like that relationship.
Yeah.
You do your thing, I do mine.
It's just their roommates, dude.
Yeah, they're roommates. You eat your mice, I sit over here.
Cats teach you that you don't mean shit in the world,
yeah,
and I think that's
true.
A good lesson to learn.
It's a different thing. But that's even, I mean, you mentioned...
You don't.
You don't.
True.
They're
both
honest.
I mean, what you said about coloring books, I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
Right? That's another
one
of those
adult coloring books thing?
Yeah.
Well, there are, you know, I mean, because what is a coloring book, right?
Am I not allowed to make fun of this, or am I supposed to?
You're allowed to make fun of it.
Okay.
Yeah, but it is an effective way to manage anxiety.
Well, I think it can be. I mean, I think for some people, like for me, I would be coloring being like, you're a failure, you're a failure, you're a failure, you're a failure, right?
But a lot of these coloring books, you'll notice, are repetitive graphical designs, not like a picture of an owl.
Totally.
And I think part of that is because the repetition, it's like similar with people who have autism. Like repetitious behavior is comforting. So you almost get to meditate you know, like zone totally. Out when you're doing it.
It's like so circular breathing or something.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of where the coloring book thing phenomenon kind of.
Yeah. And I also think it's just having a behavior that you can replicate. I mean, I have a friend. I don't think he's an anxious person.
I'd say sweeping's a better technique. You're cleaning.
That's true.
Yeah.
But that's a good point. Like cleaning is another really good one. But I have this friend who I don't think he's anxious, but he got really into bonsai trees. And I thought it's a really good thing for exactly what we're talking about. Or like those stress gardens where literally you just rake around sand and kind of, you know,
that's awesome.
Like that kind of stuff where I think a bonsai tree is a little bit more progressive, like sweeping, where the whole point is to like make it better and grow it and cultivate it,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of obviously metaphorical for a lot of how do you cultivate a better lifestyle, etc.
I have a pitch because we live in such a dirty place.
Right.
That we use everyone's anxiety and we do like a group cleanup where we're sweeping sidewalks and we're picking up garbage. And it's like you do it on Saturday mornings or something.
That's a great idea.
I like the idea of raking grass, but like, what are you, you're not really doing anything. If you're going to be doing something, let's do something productive.
Yeah.
That's sort of my point. What I don't like about the coloring books thing is like, if you're going to draw and do art because you were trying to make something cool, go for it. But somebody else's coloring book, I mean, what, you have two?
Right.
I mean, you can do your own art. You're actually handicapping yourself. Challenge yourself a little bit.
Well,
like, I'm going to make
a
drawing.
I think it's a good starting point.
I would say the counter to that,
I'm cracking the whip, guys.
I mean, the counter to that is I think the act of creation, I think, can create a lot of anxiety in itself.
Yeah.
Like, I know as a writer and a musician, I know that sometimes...
Okay, well, sweeping...
Well,
you know,
when
you're
sit
creating
down,
a cleaner sidewalk.
Like, I find it so difficult sometimes to just sit down and start writing.
Yeah.
Right? Because you start with all this shit in your head, and you're just like, how do I even get any of this out?
Organize it.
And then all of a sudden...
You just start writing, baby.
You just start writing, exactly. But I think that if you're already... If you have like the inclination to be anxious, sitting down and being like, all right, I'm going to solve this by creating something from nothing. I think people go, like, I don't know what I'm going to make. I'm a failure, right?
Yeah.
So,
and it really comes down to what is going to help you feel better? What's going to make your anxiety feel better?
And there's a lot of ways to do that.
And
right?
coloring books are one of them for a lot of people.
But you have, I don't know. I guess it's just, it's harder for some people, but you have to just start.
I have a few.
You have to just, okay? You have to just start doing something or else you will do nothing. I mean,
I think when it's at a debilitating stage, like
I can't really relate, I guess.
General anxiety, like anxiety disorders where you are literally like having heart palpitations and your throat feels like it's closing. If you can sit down with a coloring book for 10 minutes and that is what's going to calm your mind, I think it's all good.
And I think that's just one manifestation of that. I mean, I think it could also be like,
it could be
doing push-ups. I mean, it could be like whatever. Like there are a lot of different ways.
Like
I mean,
any
I
of
will
the things
say,
on that list.
There are some very obviously very negative ways to try to solve anxiety, which kind of goes without saying, like
heroin
is definitely. I mean, it sounds trite, but that is definitely one of them. It's like you don't want to like things like even smoking. Like I love having a cigarette every once in a while, but I know that I feel like after even if I do it for anxiety reasons,
mm-hmm.
I'll have a cigarette and then like I will start getting down on myself. For not doing something more proactive, like sweeping or whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel like there is anything that you feel like is inherently harming or adding to your anxiety, I think is a problem. I mean, there's even like to a degree, like NoFap, no masturbation subreddit, which is very popular, is almost predicated entirely on that idea.
Yeah.
Which is like, we do this thing to like make us feel better and to just like fucking get some raccoons off the porch type shit.
Yeah, sure.
And to scram in control.
Right? Scram raccoons.
It's like an in control thing. You feel like your life's out of control. This is something I can control.
Exactly.
I feel grounded.
And I think that is, you know, when you do things like that feel like they might solve short term, but they're not really contributing to the long term. If they are, they might be contributing in a negative way to the long term. Trying to mitigate that stuff.
Yeah.
So
I think a good thing to kind of start looking at a little bit in this episode is touching on the larger mental health trends that you're seeing online.
Right.
Especially in the past 5 years. It's gotten extremely popular to find Instagram accounts, Tumblr pages, all devoted to memes about mental health and mental illness. And so... I found a few articles about it. So this one was how memes taught millennials to talk about mental health.
Interesting.
Which is interesting. So it's basically saying like in recent
get in that low baritone when I interesting. Yeah, sorry.
In recent years, so memes have become like a fun thing that occupies like a lot of space in like public discourse. Like on Instagram, people are pretty much the only way I interact with my friends on Instagram is tagging people in memes that I'm like, that's so relatable, you know? Right.
That's you.
And plus they're also moving very mainstream. Like Pepe, for example, found himself in a really hot potato with this alt-right movement.
Or Dr. Pepe.
Yeah. Arthur's fist became a symbol of paralyzing rage. And a cartoon dog engulfed in flames ended up representing our passivity in the face of the Trump shitstorm. Like, all these memes are so universally relatable that it's like they were cathartic. People would share them and it felt like, okay, I'm not alone. We're all kind of freaking out, you know?
Right.
But also, like, you'll find all of these new accounts that are devoted entirely to mental illness. So you'll see one I follow on Instagram is this creator named Binge City, who has, like, some really funny stuff. It's basically, like, picture of Kim Kardashian in the car looking really serious, and it's like, when I remember my trauma suddenly in the middle of the day. And it's it's a funny meme. But what's cool about it is the same reason this anxiety subreddit is so popular and interesting is that it's an anonymous and distanced way to connect to people and to feel like you're not alone, to feel like this is a problem a lot of people have. And I'm like, I'm seeing it on a popular meme account, and I'm like, oh, me too. That's a thing.
There's like a lot of big picture stuff going on with this. I feel like, have you ever talked to like an older gentleman or lady and they
side of the bar?
They've never shared anything personal about themselves, right? That's kind of the old way.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And this new way is we share everything all the time because it's all about how I feel and I'm important, so I'm going to share what I feel. Right. And my feeling is my truth.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We've kind of got this sort of shifting of what's normal. Yeah,
my feeling is my truth.
That's the scariest concept in the world. That's the new way. And the old way was I would never tell you how I feel because everything's fine and I'm just going to sit here and drink all night.
Right.
Yeah.
Never talk about it and then die.
Yep.
That's kind of the old way. So we've sort of moved from this old way into this new way. And so you've seen a lot of these people now openly discussing their feelings and maybe people. I mean, it can also swing too far.
Yeah, I mean, I think into a way where it's like, oh, it's okay to talk about the middle.
Yeah, of course, always, right?
Yeah.
And so you see it same with like, you know, you probably see it in the Me Too movement. Probably see it in the race stuff. You probably see it everywhere where it's like everyone's like, oh, it's okay to do this one thing, and people, I can get attention for it. Oh, I'm going to get a lot of attention for it.
Well, that's
sort of people take advantage of it.
So
like,
now I'm not saying people take advantage
situation?
Of it. I'm saying now that it's. Now that it's okay, so a good tangible situation would be the anxiety dog on a plane, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now that it's okay to be have anxiety and depression publicly, and it's socially acceptable, I'm going to bring my dog on the plane. Yesterday I was out getting coffee.
I see what you mean.
And my point is, like yes, it should be okay to talk about your feelings and try to get help to be productive, to become a better person. Watch out for people who are just trying to get attention
and take advantage.
And so I'm saying I think it's swung from the dark side where nobody talked about it to now everybody's talking about it. And because it's okay, you're going to see maybe people just want attention to take advantage.
I think it's a little bit of like an all about you situation.
Sure.
That's the thing. When you say like,
it would be great to be in the middle and be like, oh, people who need help, give them help. And let's not shit on them for asking for it.
So we're in the middle of this big gun issue, right? And I think that one of the things with the gun issue, to relate it actually to the anxiety dog thing, is like I think there are a lot of people who use guns in the right way, where they just are enthusiasts. They love World War II regalia, and they're like they just like appreciate gun culture. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? There are a lot of
musket collectors.
Anything. Like, you can be musket collectors. You can even collect AR-15s.
If you collected muskets, I'd be like, I do not feel threatened.
Well, but even people who collect AR-15s and like they do it for because they love going to the shooting range, they're enthusiasts with guns. I don't really have a problem with that. But because of what we're dealing with now, it's like you got to take that away, right? There are some people who love driving fast on the highway. They have cars dedicated to it. But you can't do that. Sorry, you're putting other people at risk, right?
Totally.
And that's kind of where we are with guns. But I think it's the same thing can be said for
I can't remodel my kitchen
right.
without the state telling me it's okay.
Totally.
Wow. So, I mean, it's as simple as that. People, like the freedom that people think they might have, go try to do something right. within your yeah. city and
dude,
they'll be
exactly.
like,
you need
15 inspectors.
I know.
And you're
I
like,
it drives
what?
Me nuts yeah. when I see a no U-turn sign and I'm like, I can make a U-turn. I'm not a fucking idiot, America. I can see there are no right. cars coming. I can make a U-turn.
So you're a vigilante driver too.
You're right.
Yes, I
but
am.
I think when it comes to the anxiety thing.
It's one of my most fun things to do. I can handle this U-turn,
yeah.
government.
when it comes to anxiety though, I think it is like, you know, there is such a thing as toxic mm-hmm. individuality. And I think even within movements like Me Too, in the same way with men's rights, right? Like, yes, it's okay to have these open discussions about this, but like you have to still adapt to the flow of the world, even if you're trying to slow it down gradually, because something like you can bring your anxiety dog on the plane, right? But if your anxiety dog yelps and barks and bites somebody,
yeah.
then it is you are
you should get your money back first
well,
of all.
Yeah. But it's like that all of a sudden is like, yes, it may solve your anxiety, but you are not the only person.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's like,
it can't be the detriment of other people.
Right.
Yeah, but nobody plays by those rules anymore.
Well, but that's
because
the
everyone's
that's,
got their feet up in everyone's
exactly.
face. And it's like, dude, this is my space. I'm yeah. Dr. Pepper. Dude.
And that's exactly. actually a very uniquely like Western yeah. way to function.
Super
I was talking
Western.
To a coworker yesterday who grew up in Japan and they have very.
Oh, is there a sub for this?
We should look
weeabo.
Into that.
Oh, no, there's. Do we talk about
it's
this?
A term. We,
there was
weeabo.
A term. It was.
Yep. Weeaboo.
Weeaboo. Yeah. Sorry. This is. I just want to say this would yeah. be a good time to say weeaboo.
The word.
I think weeaboo is a little bit more of like a very complicated. It's like a very internet thing. But
I
go
love
on.
That.
Right.
But he was telling me like in he know because he, now he lives in America. He notices in America when it comes to depression and not knowing what you want to do with your life, it's very inwardly focused and
right.
you know, how do I make myself feel better? How do right. I feel fulfilled? Where in Japan. And maybe a lot of other Eastern cultures that I'm not aware of, you're really brought up to consider your place in the community.
Totally.
And how you can better serve the community and the greater good, which is interesting. It's very interesting. And you kind of see that through like the types of crimes that you see in different countries too.
Right.
That's like getting off topic.
If you want to read the book that I think is like the Bible on this, is called Tribe by Sebastian Younger. It's short. It was the best book I read last year. It's all about community living and right. how, I don't know, it's like very Native American based, but man,
that's
guy,
awesome.
He nails it. I mean, essentially yeah. the argument is like, here in America, it's all about me,
mm-hmm.
and if you live in that philosophy, you're not a community based person. And like LA is almost the perfect city for that.
Totally.
Yeah.
New York, I think, is more community based than mm-hmm. LA. Because people do have to share public transportation.
Right.
And stuff.
But here but we're here, all in our pods. And
you probably right. have, you know, it's sunny all the time, but people are probably also some of the most unhappy people in the world.
Yeah,
right? So
that's
what's
true.
Going on? And I think a lot of it comes back to there is no community. You don't know your neighbors. You don't help each other, like all that stuff.
Yeah.
But this book, you'll appreciate it.
I
really
definitely
want to
read
short,
it.
It's short. It's like a kick-ass read.
And I think that's like a really...
And to make you join the like, natives.
I love that. I think that's like a good way to kind of wrap up anxiety is like that exact idea is like, you know, there's a community out there. Like you are not alone, even if you feel alone because of the city you live in or the culture you live in. Like in Los Angeles, it's very easy to feel alone. But this kind of stood out to me. The Anxiety and Depression Association, which is a thing, says that 18% of Americans experience an anxiety disorder every year, but only about 36% of them seek help. So the fact that a subreddit like Our Anxiety exists
right.
Not only helps to create a community where they may not have a tangible community, but also it helps to normalize these conversations that
right.
maybe growing up, their parents were like, we don't talk about this. What are you talking about? And here you can talk openly and it's normal.
And anonymously if you want.
Yeah. And it's great. So
it's a great sub.
Yeah.
My tips to fighting anxiety before we sign off or change subjects. Smile, even if you're faking it, right?
Hell yeah.
When you go out in public, try to become friends with the general people you see, the coffee people, the whatever you do on a daily basis. Like, pretend like you're... This is a good way to think about it. Pretend like there's an old guy down the street from me who's like 80, he's retired, he's moved here because of his grandkids. I see him in the morning when I'm with my kid outside, we wave, we chat. Like, pretend like you're an 82-year-old guy who's retired, who's got all the time in the world to chit-chat.
Yeah.
Like, those guys are just like, hey, what's going on? You're like, nothing.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a great when you go to the coffee shop, try to be in.
Bringing that 82-year-old vibe. Hey, what's happening? Nothing? All right.
Yeah. How you doing?
Cool. Ooh. I think you can kind of fake that on a daily basis in the end of like a week. You'll probably feel better.
Fake it till you make it.
I mean, my last note on this, I think, will be... And I also think we should check out the top of all time post because I think it's adorable.
Yes.
On this one. So I'll let you read that one since this is your sub boobs.
But
I think I know we are a well documented Jordan Peterson fanboys. He actually has a book out. Despite what you may or may not feel about Jordan Peterson, because I know he is a very divisive character. His book is called 12 Ways of Living, right? 12 Rules of Life or some shit like that.
Yeah.
He just had a new book that just came out.
12 Steps to Beating Out. No, it's 12 Rules of Living.
12 Rules of Living.
Something like that.
But it is very largely, I mean, he is a psychologist. He is a doctorate of psychology or doctor of psychology.
12 Rules for Life.
12 Rules for Life. And a lot of these rules are very pertinent to what we're talking about right now. So I think that if you do have anxious predilections, I think that you... There are a lot of ways to get help, but you know, maybe give that book a look because I think it's I haven't finished it, but I think that just listening to it, I've been listening to it on tape, and Jordan Peterson's a very eloquent speaker, so he does a good job reading it.
8-track or what do you got?
I'm listening to it on an 8-track.
Nice.
nice. But
hi-fi is much better.
The hi-fi is definitely much better, but it has a lot of things. Like I think one of the rules, like I think the last rule is like when you see a cat on the street, pet it.
Whoa.
So it's like things like that are like very interesting.
That's a good example. I mean, maybe don't go pet every animal you see, but be approachable. Try to make, don't make friends out of everybody, but like be friendly with interactions as opposed to gruff. I mean, I've realized over the years, like I have a shit face. Like it looks like I'm angry.
Resting bitch face?
It's more like resting... I have a shit in my pants and I need to get out of here face.
Oh.
Nice.
Like upset or like but it's more towards like I got stuff on my mind and I'm like trying to like go but it's like slow it down, fake it, smile with your eyes, like the world will approach you in a more positive way.
Be conscious of how you're presenting yourself.
That's the number
one rule actually in the book is stand up straight with your shoulders back.
If you're hunched over and looking down, you look more foreboding and mean.
Totally. Well, not even foreboding, but you look
more gruff and upset. And so who wants to talk to somebody who's upset? Nobody.
Yeah.
And, totally. and if that's the way you're walking around and life isn't working for you, it's not that life isn't working for you. It's like you're approaching the world in a way.
Yeah, you physically appear closed to it.
Well, also
they're little simple tactics. Yeah. If you did all this shit in a week, your life would be vastly turned around. But then it's up to you to keep doing it. Then you can't take a pill.
Totally.
Even though pills are sick.
Yeah, I'm on a few different pills and I love them. But you're right. It can pull you out of a dark space by following those tips.
It's a daily battle. It's like there's never... All right. Fix all.
Yeah.
So let's close this one out. It's very quickly and it's a visual post, but we'll post this on our Facebook and Instagram and all those fun places. I'll let you read it.
It's really, really cool. So yeah, this is the top of all time. The title is "My Girlfriend Made Me a Calming Jar," and it's basically a fishbowl with a piece of paper on it that reads "100 reminders that you are safe." And the one he pulled out says, your brain plays tricks, which is like literally the sweetest girlfriend in the entire
universe.
Yeah,
that's so nice.
Like, it's filled to the top with little pieces of paper that if he's having a panic attack or an anxiety attack, that he can reach in and here's this like really comforting, beautiful thing from a loved one that like instantly grounds him. You know,
I appreciate this, but I also hate it because it's more thoughtful than I could ever be.
I know.
Yeah, I'm like, totally, God totally. Damn it.
Like, wow. She's a better person than I will ever be.
but it's making me feel anxious right now.
It is.
All right, let's hit a couple randoms. Close this one out.
Yeah.
Anxiety. I think this is a great resource. I think this is a really interesting sub.
If you're feeling anxious, and check it out. And if you're feeling worse and suicidal, still check it out because there are so many resources. Definitely check them out before you make any rash decisions.
Right.
And my only advice has always just been just become friends with your barista.
Yeah.
That's and actually a good...
That, we should that add that to the one. List of things to do. Have you made friends with your barista today? Go make friends with him.
Hello, Pam. It is good. But don't do it in a serial killer way, because then they'll be like, this guy keeps saying hi to me.
Get out. We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone.
Don't keep your teeth clenched when you greet them.
Try to smile. Hello, and Pam. Take off the thick Coke bottle glasses, too.
Yeah, totally.
And the gray sweats.
All right, so I landed on an amazing sub.
You always do, man.
For a hookah. Hookahs.
Oh, hookahs.
A sub entirely dedicated to hookahs.
I'm really curious about hookah people, hookah bars. Like, I've had friends that are like, oh, we made it to the hookah bar. And I'm like, I don't, what do you,
why?
Yeah. What? Are you getting
There's
high?
So many options.
Yeah. I mean, I get coffee, I get smoking weed, and I get drinking alcohol, but I don't really get hookah.
I mean, it's kind of cool, but it wears me out, dude. It's like fucking, it's like, let's go to the smoke four cigarettes at once bar. Like, I don't know if I'm into that, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I've only done it one time, and
I mean, I did it a lot in college, but I kind of did it as a novelty in college.
Yeah, I didn't obviously feel the need to go back.
Right.
So
what do you got over there, Freed, on third base?
Fit women gifts.
Oh. That sounds, is that pornographic or is it like?
No, it's just fit women
gifts.
Okay.
Like this one I clicked on as a girl in a bikini who's got a fit body and some guy's spraying her with the hose and she's like trying to block it. So
she's trying to block it?
She's like, stop it.
Oh, I thought it was like, get the fuck out of here, guy. Who are you?
Get the fuck out.
It's like a girl's gone wild.
Oh, man.
2.0.
That's awesome.
I just landed on the fucking...
Uh-oh.
Okay. Yeah, do yours and then we'll close out on the one I just landed on because we should actually talk about this one sometime.
Yeah. Okay. Mine I landed on was shitty Rainbow Six.
What?
So it's like the video game Rainbow Six, but memes.
That's amazing.
Welcome to the meme subreddit for Rainbow Six Siege. Feel welcome to post your memes. Blah, 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 blah.
That's hilarious.
That's kind of weird.
All right.
I just landed on another good one.
Do it and then I'll close out on the one I landed
DMT.
on.
DMT. We should do that sometime.
That would actually be a really interesting
live.
I'll
put it on our list. Dog boobs can DMT you during the pod.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yes.
She's gonna go.
Fudge,
she's gonna go high five God
you
and come back.
Leave it, dude.
Yeah,
God, he smelled like love
and patchouli.
I would love to see what your God looks like. Dog boobs.
She's beautiful.
I just picture. It's Trevor's head.
Trevor's head on Oprah's body. That's my God. Trevor's my dog for any new listeners.
Trevor's their son/dog.
Yeah, my son.
Heaven for me is an Oprah set.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And every time I sit down, I get a free Oprah set.
Well, and every time you, like, every day probably you wake up and Oprah's like,
free Hyundai.
Everybody's getting a happy morning today in heaven.
And she's just like, look under your chair, and you're like, another Hyundai.
Honda's under
another
my chair.
Hyundai.
It can be because it's heaven.
All right, guys, closing out on the sub, Orange County.
Oh,
I landed on a sub dedicated to Orange County.
The place, not the show, right?
Right.
Oh.
And not the movie starring Jack Black.
That's a really good movie.
It's a really good movie.
It's a really fun movie.
That's
you've seen the guys from San Clemente who are lobbying to get the Paul Walker statue.
Oh, it's the best.
Yes.
It's the best. But maybe through that sub we can discuss that because there's a lot going on there. I feel like the internet has produced some good brain children.
Some gems. Orange County. True. Of the Orange County lore. All right, cool. We're going to close this one out. Anxiety. Fascinating shit. And very powerful sub. Really, really positive stuff.
Get off your iPhones.
Get off your fucking iPhones, dude. Go talk to the old man down the street.
Yeah.
Go meet your barista
with your teeth closed.
If you see an old person, go say hi. They got time.
They got time. They got plenty of time.
Not a lot of time, actually.
Right. All right. My voice has gotten progressively worse throughout this pod. I now sound like I'm a. I sound like I live in a. I work at a hookah bar. So, all right. Until next time. Hopefully next week we'll be able to get some fragrance on here.
Yep.
Smell-o-vision. If not, we'll have another. We'll probably do another interesting zone.
Ooh, people can smell from home. That's.
I think it'll be Friday's turn. So I don't know what it'll be. Probably baseball or some shit.
Either baseball, football, or nachos.
It's yeah, one of the three. All right, cool. Until next time, this is Did You Reddit. Rate us, like us, say hi. Hi at didyoureddit.com. If you're feeling anxious, feel free to email us. Hi at didyoureddit.com. Hit us up at our respective usernames. If you want to throw us some Skrilla on Patreon, please. And then, till next time. We'll be back with another podcast about the internet by way of Reddit, the front page of the internet. My name is It's Your Dad.
Dog Boob.
Free day.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.